possible now that you're here.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for having this privilege to come into your presence, knowing that we're not here for a man, but we're here for thee, O God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we pray for those who could not be here with us this morning. We ask that you be with them. Be with Brother Gary and his wife as they dedicate their grandchild down in Jeffersonville. And Lord, those others that could not be here, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're looking at Unveiling of God number 122. Continuation of our End Time Insanity series. We're looking at compulsion leading to obsession, which is double possession. Now, the third attribute of the end time insanity, which is neurosis, is obsession, which Webster defines as an act of an evil spirit in possessing or ruling a person, having such a persistent idea, desire, or emotion that one cannot get rid of it. Oppression is the state of being oppressed, the feeling of being heavily burdened, mentally or physically, by troubles, adverse conditions, or a result of anxiety, etc. Now, Brother Brown said, if you can feed a habit, he says, you can feed a habit or keep nurturing a habit, and after a while, it will take over your life. It'll take on a life of its own, becoming a spirit possession. So just remember that. You can feed a habit, and it will become a spirit possession. Now, remember how we saw that the beginning of this end-time insanity began with anxiety, which is worrying about what might happen. Then if you're not careful, your anxiety will lead to compulsive behavior, and that always leads to oppression, which is becoming possessed by your anxiety or obsession. Now, Webster told us that this obsession, which comes as a result of your compulsive dealing with your anxiety, is actually, by this stage, a demon possession. The act of an evil spirit in possessing or ruling a person, having such a persistent idea, desire, or emotion that one cannot get rid of it. Now remember this. It's the devil that's bringing on the obsession. It's not the individual. The individual is being oppressed by the obsessive compulsive behavior. When a person enters into compulsion and then becomes obsessed by it, they become what is known as an obsessive compulsive, which is a disorder. It's called OCD, and it is a common chronic and long-lasting disorder in which a person has uncontrollable, reoccurring thoughts, anxieties leading to compulsive actions and obsessive thoughts, and or behaviors, compulsions, that he or she feels the urge to repeat over and over. That's the medical definition. Now remember, I've always told you that when you pass a test, God says, come up higher. But when you fail the test, you're going to get it over and over again until you do pass it. And the way to pass a test in this obsessive compulsive is turn your anxiety over to God. Just let go and let God. Remember, Brother Brown said, don't worry, because worry brings on health issues. Now, this morning, I want to show you how that this oppression, i.e. possession, is a spirit that leads to fear and is not from God, but is from the devil. Obsession is the act of an evil spirit possessing or ruling a person. Obsession is demon possession. It turns to oppression. You can't disengage obsession from oppression and possession. And it matters not what the anxiety is. If not turned over to God, it leads to compulsion and then obsession. And a demon is a demon, and his business is to rob you of your joy in the Lord and your peace with God in all things. I don't know how many times I have sessions with people or talk to people here and there and around the world that they're saying they're losing their joy. And then they find themselves doing things over and over again. They're obsessed about something, and it leads to compulsive behaviors. And it's just, this is too late of an hour, brother, sister, to be playing with the things of the world, playing with these oppressive demons. Our focus should be on Christ. Brother Brown said there's relaxation under the seventh seal. We should be the happiest people on earth. Our joy, the Bible says, comes from the presence of the Lord. So we're told in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I want to show you that these seducing spirits are not just doctrinal. That says seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The seducing spirits come in a variety of ways, but they can come as an obsessive compulsive behavior. All right? So we see that the evil spirit possessing or ruling a person is ordained to come at the end time. Obsession is a seductive spirit because, after all, it feeds your anxiety. Now think about that. And in not turning over your anxiety to God, you begin to try on your own to conquer it by compulsively doing and doing and doing things in order to overcome the thing that you worry about what might happen. But in doing, you're actually feeding that spirit, and that compulsive behavior actually brings on a spirit of doubt and oppression which takes a hold of you and possesses you in your anxiety. That's a lot to think about, and you might want to get these notes out and study them more closely. But in his sermon, Expectation, Brother Branham, he's ministering to a sister who has this oppression. And he says to her, "Sister, God will cure you of that diabetes and make you well if you believe it." Do you believe it? "Then in the name of Jesus Christ, may it be so. Amen. Have faith in God now. Now come, sister, look this way now to live. Look and believe on the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Now you're suffering from a mental oppression, which is nervousness. You keep having strange and crazy thoughts running through your mind, especially right late of the evening. You get real weak. Many times you have to sit down, and when the sun's setting, you get a gloomy spell come on you, and the devil's trying to tell you that you're going to lose your mind. Those things are true, lady. You are praying before you come. You prayed and said, 'If God, if you'll give me a prayer card and put me on the platform, I will believe you'll heal me.' That is right. If that's right, raise your hand." Well, that's right. I see you where you were kneeling there now, and God has rewarded you, and your faith has healed you. It's gone from you. It was caused from menopause, but you're going to be well. So go on your road rejoicing, and I bless you, my sister, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen." Let's say thanks be to God, who will give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand here that this woman is suffering. She, because of menopause, because it threw her body into a blood disorder through the menopause, she was having these spells, and isn't it wonderful that just like that, it's gone? "Sister, you prayed. I saw you in prayer. I saw you in a vision. You prayed and asked God if he would heal you, or that if you got a prayer card, you believed that he would heal you." Now, if the oppression and the anxieties and the obsession and the compulsive behavior can be overcome like that, how is it overcome by that? Faith. Belief. You don't have to put up with that, brother, sister. That's the devil trying to do those things to you. Now, sometimes it comes, you put that on yourself. Like Brother Brown said, you can repeat a lie over and over again. Pretty soon you believe it's true. You can tell yourself the whole family's against you when the whole family's not against you. But in your mind, you believe it, you enter into it, and with compulsive behavior, now the family starts to distance themselves from you. They say, "Whoa, what's going on here?" And you brought it on yourself. It is ordained to come at the end time to lead people away from the faith by selling you a bill of goods, which is nothing but a seductive trap to entice you into following its false doctrine of works. "I can do, I can do, I can do." You get compulsive. You get obsessed. "If I can just do this, if I can just do that, this will happen, and this won't happen." And instead of just turning your cares over to him, you try to outdo your anxiety by doing. Now listen, this is very important to understand. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Voice translation tells us, "But even so, the Spirit clearly, very clearly tells us that in the last time, some will abandon the true faith because of their devotion, their obsession to spirits sent to deceive and sabotage. And mistakenly, they will end up following the doctrine of demons." Works. So we see that this trap is set before you. A problem comes up and causes you anxiety. And by worrying about it, instead of turning it over to God, your Father, you build up an anxiety which you try to conquer by doing things to prevent that thing from happening. So the whole entire scheme of compulsive behavior is actually a seductive spirit that has enticed you to do instead of rest. Rest. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter, and He sets me free. I'm down at the altar. You see, we have got to come to the place where we just, whenever that oppression, that whatever it is, that anxiety, those things that you think, well, they should be doing this, or they're doing this, and they got an ulterior motive, and all this other nonsense, that's the devil trying to break fellowship. Start singing that song. Jesus breaks every fetter. Remember when the man came in to test his wife? He wanted to show the two drunken cohorts that there was one real Christian. It was his wife. And he started smashing. He said, "Woman, bring me eggs." And so she brought him eggs. And, it's not the way I like it. Threw it on the floor. Instead of her getting mad at him and calling him names and everything else, "You drunken bum, blah, 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 blah." She didn't do that. She just started singing, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me." Now, would the crowd say, "There's a cross for everyone, and that cross is thee. But there's a cross for everyone." That brings you right back to the cross. That brought that man to his knees, and his friends to their knees. That saved their marriage, I'm sure. So this compulsive behavior is contrary to what we're taught in 1 Peter 5 and 7, that we should cast all our cares on God, our Father, for He cares for us. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Brother Don, nobody can care for you like He can. I love you, brother. I do everything I could in this world to help you whenever I can. But I have a Father who can do even more. Because He knows your inner desires. He knows the inner workings of everything about you. And He loves you. So this compulsiveness, as a result of anxiety, is actually a seducing spirit and doctrine of the devils. The people being seduced into believing the lie, and then they are damned by it. And what was the lie that was told Eve? If you do this, you will be this. You got an anxiety of things you think are going to happen? Well, if you just do this, then you'll be this. Forget it. Forget it. It doesn't work. Especially in relationships, it doesn't work. They say this to you, you say this back to them, hoping that, well, they'll see that how crazy the talk is that they're doing to you. No, it just magnifies it, makes it worse. You just have to walk away. Just walk away and pray. So why believe in the lie and they will be damned by it? Because once you turn away from your rest in God and your peace and joy coming from God's presence and that alone, you begin to try and do for yourself, which is actually a seducing spirit. Oh, you can do it. You can do it. They love the lie and they will be damned by the thing that they love. The Apostle Paul warned us in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God should send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, how does this apply? Well, the Weiss translation tells us that God will send the strong delusion that is geared to the gullibility of those that are perishing. So the strong delusion is geared to this one, to this one, to this one, and it's a different strong delusion. But it's geared to their own gullibility. It's geared to their own yielding themselves to the deception that says, "You can do it. You can do it." So you see, the deception is geared to the deceived. The deception is geared to the deceived. In other words, if a person has a propensity to look past the word for sensations, well, God will direct them to those preaching sensations. If their weakness is a lack of faith, a lack of revelation, then God will direct them to someone who teaches from an intellectual way of preaching, where you don't need revelation to understand what they say. Oh, he's the smartest guy ever. If I can just sit under his feet, what's it going to do to you if you don't understand what he's saying anyway? If they lack faith in God, then the devil will direct them to faith in oneself. Yeah. Nobody else is going to do it, so I'm going to do it. And when you go down that road, you enter into compulsive behavior, and you then end up making the thing that you were anxious about a priority in your life, and it ends up taking over your life. That's it. You get health issues, that health issue becomes your priority. Becomes everything that you do. All your actions, all your efforts, all your energies goes into that health thing. Instead of serving God. And how do you serve God? By serving one another. Eternal life is not living for self. Eternal life is living for others. Paul says here, no matter what your weakness is, if you are one who is in the act of perishing because you were not ordained to receive this message, God will make sure that you find someone to hear that will lead you away from the faith, because the faith was not for you. Obsessions are recurrent and persistent thoughts. They are impulses or images that cause distressing emotions such as anxiety or disgust. Many people with OCD recognize that the thoughts, impulses, or images are a product of their mind and are excessive or unreasonable. Yet these intrusive thoughts cannot be settled by logic or reasoning. Most people with OCD try to ignore or suppress such obsessions or offset them with some thought or action. Typical obsessions include excessive concerns about contamination or harm, the need for symmetry or exactness, or forbidden sexual or religious thoughts. In other words, germs. And so you start to wash your hands all the time. Like, who was the rich man that did that? In Howard Hughes. He got so obsessive, compulsive about germs that he wouldn't even let people into the room and just went crazy with it. And you can do that too. Well, you picked your nose and you handle money. So what? Do I have the Holy Ghost? I have the Holy Ghost. Brother Brown said, Brother Brown, you better not go over this place, but you better get inoculated. He said, I have my inoculation. I have the Holy Ghost. If you are worried about every little demon out there, then you don't got the Holy Ghost. But you need the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost is here to protect the bride. When Egypt was coming down with all kinds of curses on it, all kinds of diseases and everything else, it didn't touch those that were under the token. Either you believe it or you don't. Either you pray over your food or you don't. If you pray over your food, then don't worry what was injected into it. I mean, within reason, you don't want to deliberately put the Lord to the test. But on the other hand, if the food's there and that's all you've got to eat, then eat it. People quit eating meat because they're injecting all this kind of stuff. Brother Brad, what do we do? He said, just pray over it. Sanctify it by the Word of God in prayer. Does that work? Well, I hope so. Not just hope so, I believe so. I believe that if God said it, it's there for me to use. Now, some examples of compulsion are cleaning to reduce the fear of germs, dirt, or chemicals will contaminate them, and spend many hours washing themselves or cleaning their surroundings. Some people spend many hours washing themselves or cleaning their surroundings. I mean, just fanatics about it. Repeating to dispel anxiety. Some people utter a name or a phrase or repeat a behavior several times. They know these repetitions won't actually guard against injury, but feel harm will occur if the repetitions aren't done. How many athletes have superstitions that they repeat on a regular basis? Well, I've got to wear this certain jersey, or I've got to wear this certain my socks a certain way, or I've got to wear a certain hat, because if I don't, then I might strike out. I mean, it's a seducing spirit. Checking to reduce the fear of harming oneself or others by, for example, forgetting to lock the door or turn off the gas stove. Some people develop checking rituals. Some people repeatedly retrace driving routes to be sure they haven't hit anyone. Ordering and arranging to reduce discomfort. Some people like to put objects such as books in a certain order or arrange household items just so or in a symmetric fashion. Now, I can understand maybe doing some of that if you've got Alzheimer's disease, but you shouldn't have Alzheimer's disease if you've got the Holy Ghost. I'm a firm believer in that. Because he's promised not a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Mental compulsions are responses to intrusive, obsessive thoughts. Some people silently pray or say phrases to reduce anxiety or prevent a dreaded future event. There's only one treatment that is 100% effective, and that is what Peter taught us in 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. We all know the parable of the Son of Man who went forth sowing seed. And we all know the seed was the Word of God. And we all know that there were different examples of how that seed was sown and where it was sown. And we also find there are those to whom the Word of God was sown to, but they let other things get in the way of the Word, and therefore the Word ended up bearing no fruit in them. I'm afraid that is the case with so many people who claim to believe the ministry of the Son of Man in this hour. Because it's the Son of Man that went forth sowing seed. So it's not for the denomination. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about this message. Those the Son of Man went forth sowing. Now, Brother Branham said that we could find ourselves in the Scriptures. That is how the Word of God becomes alive to us. So as we read the parable of the sower, I want you to examine yourself to see which one of these examples represents your own situation. Matthew 13:10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered said unto them, because it's given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath or whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he echoes. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They see and they don't see. And they hear, but they don't hear, because they don't understand what they're seeing and what they're hearing. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall see, you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, I'm going to explain it now to you. When anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, see, these people say all you have to do is believe. They don't take all of what Brother Ram said about it. He said you can't understand unless you got the Holy Ghost. So yeah, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, that's all you can do is believe. That's right. But when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, this message, and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one. That's Satan. And catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And he that receives the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anonymous joy receives it. I'm going to just interchange the word with the message so you can understand. This comes right down home. All right? Anyone who hears the message of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the message, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath no root in himself, but he endureth for what? For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the message, by and by he's offended. Now notice Jesus tells us these ones endure the word. They endure the message for a while. Endure the word? Endure the message? You mean these ones put up with the message? That's what he's saying. They endure means they're putting up with it. What an attitude. Yes, they endured it for a while because it's really a chore to them, because the word says, forsaking not the gathering of the saints. And the vindicated prophet told us, if God is in your heart, you can't wait until the church door is open to come in and set before God. But just think of what he said. He said, these endure the word. They endure the message. In other words, it's such a pain but they endure it. Why is it such a pain? Because you don't love it. And if you don't love it, you're one of those that's on the way to be deceived. I'm going to show you that. You've got to love it. And if you don't love it, then cry out to God that you might love it. And just start looking at, for God so loved the world, He gave His own begotten Son. Just start looking at love. You don't love Him first. You love Him because He loved you. Start looking at what He's done for you. Start counting your blessings. So many people walk around and they've got so many blessings. They live in beautiful homes. They've got wonderful cars to drive. They've got wonderful kids and grandkids and everything else. And they just complain about this, complain about that, complain about that. God hears what you're saying. God hears your negativity all the time. You don't have a right to do that. And that's going to put you out of the kingdom. Thus saith the Lord. Brother Ram said, that will finally put you out of the kingdom. You think that you made it because your parents made it, your grandparents made it, everybody. Listen, I have a word for you. 2 million people followed the pillar of fire. Only two entered in. All those 1,999,998 people perished that followed the pillar of fire. You think because I've been raising the message, I'm going to make it. I'm going to tell you something. You better start thanking God every day for His light, His glorious light that He's given to you. Because if you walk in that light as He is in that light, you have fellowship one with another. Notice Jesus tells us, these ones endure the word for a while. Like I said, endure the word. The most precious thing, the word is our inheritance, and you're going to endure it. I'm going to endure it. But just think what he said. These endure the word. Why? Because the word interferes with their plans. So sometimes they have to cancel their other plans. And they don't really want to do that, but they have to show up for church. But that attitude shows that you've never received the word into your soul. They've never been born again. They just heard the word and they intellectually knew that it was right. But because they had no love for the truth, they just endured it as though going to church to hear the word is such a trial. Such a trial. Don't worry. If this is your attitude, you won't have to come too much longer. God will make sure of that. He will send you a deluding influence and you will leave the faith thinking that you found a better way, a different church that will be flexible with your worldly plans. And that way you can have your cake and eat it too. But I'll tell you one thing, you won't make a rapture. Jesus continues, He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Let me tell you something. I don't care how much money you've got. You could have $1 trillion. Don't make you happy. And you know, the more money you make, the more trials you will have with that money. Believe me. The common people heard him gladly. The people that had enough to eat, put on some clothes, they're the ones that heard him gladly. The rich man too busy making his money. And the poor man is too busy trying to make money. But it's the common people. The people say, thank you, God, for this job. It's not the greatest pain, but you know what? I have time to come home. I have time to be in prayer. I have time with my family. I have time to, you know, be in church on Wednesday nights and Sundays and worship you. I come just twice a week. We only have the privilege twice a week to come together and worship. I mean, I wish it was in everybody's heart to be every day. I can take you over to Burkina Faso and show you that church where the people come, Muslims included, come every day to hear the word of truth and to be prayed for. Every day they come to church because they know they're going to get a blessing from God. But the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, chokes the word. And then he becometh unfruitful. So what's that? You let other things get in the way, and God says, okay, because you love not my word and you love other things more than my word, I won't let my word produce any fruit in you. You're on your own, buddy. Remember Psalm 1? The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That word is abad. It means he just leaves them to themselves. So you struggle through all your trials and up and downs and everything else because God says, I'm stepping back. You don't love my word. So you're on your own. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. So, what does that do for those who just say, well, I just believe. I don't understand, but I believe. Well, this one's not for you. This one is for those that hear it and understand it. And you know what? Because they hear and understand, also they bear fruit. And they bring forth some 100, some 460, some 30. In other words, they're producing. So I don't care who you are. If you think all you need is passive faith and not active faith, then you are them that bear no fruit. And you bear no fruit because the word has not activated your soul. That's why John says in John 3:19-20, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than, or in a greater measure than they love light. And that shows that deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They can't come to the understanding of the truth because they will not give up their own thinking. They are, according to 2 Timothy 3:7, they're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They will not receive John 14:12 because Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. They will not let their own thinking go. They are possessed by what their own mind wants to believe, and they are not willing to let go of their own thinking and receive a correct thinking based on vindication. And so they're just fakers, faking that they believe this message. And that is no difference than Hillary Clinton, who's a witch, and they're all the other day, they're all pronouncing a curse on our president. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to worry about people cursing you and saying evil things about you. The only thing you have to worry about is, am I pleasing my Father? So they're just fakers. Faking they believe this message. Like Hillary, fake it till you make it. And so they think that they can fake it, hoping that they'll make it. But they won't. God will see to that. He is the one who sends a deluding influence. The Bible, God's Word said, he is the one who will send it, and they will be damned by it. And from his sermon, Go Away, Jesus, Brother Brown said, because he is so fully surrendered to the evil one, it took possession of him, and he had not his own understanding. He only did what the evil spirit put him to do. He's talking about the man in the Gadarenes. So these people that can be led away from the truth by a seductive spirit into a delusion wanted to leave the truth to begin with. So God just says, go ahead. I'll even help you. And from a sermon, lean not to your own understanding. He said, now in Luke 17:30, he said, as it was in the days of Lot, when the angel of the Lord, in the days of Lot, before the fire burned the Gentile world, the Sodomites, there were homosexuals, perversions, everything in the world. It was a modern Los Angeles, not a modern only Los Angeles, but a United States, not only United States, but a world. It sure was perversion. Men lost their natural source of life and their natural understanding of common sense, become perverted by an evil spirit that changed the whole course of their natural life, and they were possessed with demon spirits. And if that ain't the picture of the days of Noah, I don't know what is. And in the days of Lot, I mean, in the days of Noah, also eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, divorce, courts filling up, and everything else, just like it was. You see, they were so involved in daily living, they had no time for the angel of the Lord. And they were so caught up into that which was coming that they could not relax as they walked away from Sodom. And like Lot's wife, she was so compelled, remember compulsion, she was so compelled to look back that she became crystallized in her thinking first, and then her body manifested that crystalline state, and she became a pure soul. In other words, she was so compelled to look back, gotta have to look back, gotta have to look back. You're told if you do, you're gonna die. I gotta look back anyway. And she did, and all of a sudden she froze, and she turned into that crystal. She crystallized. People don't think that's happening today. They're crystallizing right in their pews. Again, from Lean Not to Thine Own Understanding, he said, you know, the Bible says that you can believe a lie and be damned by it. See? That's exactly the truth. They form, no matter what the Word of God says, they lean to their own understanding. They lean on it. They believe it. They think it's the truth. You can keep believing a lie over and over and over until it becomes the truth to you. That's right. But how do we know whether it's truth or not? God proved it's truth. Because it's in His Word and He vindicates it. He does His own interpretation. How do they get to this? They do it by their culture and their education and their understanding of their degrees, of doctor's degrees and so forth, that they have come from some certain seminary and learned some things. I don't know how anybody who could follow this message for even a year or even a month and then go back to denomination, go back to the puke that's coming forth from the pulpits, because that's all it is, putrefied man. You know, what is puke? What is vomit? It's food from another day regurgitated back up, like a dog to its vomit, a hog to its water. Noah said, no matter what the Word of God says, they lean to their own understanding. You can't believe your Bible and teach two lords. How are you going to believe your Bible that says one Lord and believe two lords? How are you going to do that? You just can't do it. Moses taught one Lord, didn't he? And he taught vindicated truth, didn't he? Jesus taught one Lord, and he was vindicated truth. Paul taught one Lord, and the same pillar of fire that vindicated Moses and Jesus vindicated him, right? And what about William Branham? He taught one Lord. He was vindicated by the same pillar of fire. And even he said you can't have one faith and believe in more than one Lord. And yet to say, well, Brian Kosorek was so wrong because he teaches that there's only one Lord. Give me a break. I'm sorry, but what? Where are you coming from? You're deluded! And they're so compulsive that they search the scripture, they search everywhere, they search the mantras, and they search the Jews and you know the writings of the Jews, the different things, just trying to find. Well, there's got to be another Lord. There's got to be another Christ. You're crazy. There's one Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism, and it's not water baptism, it's Holy Ghost baptism. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. From God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham said, where did God put His name? In Jesus. How do you get in His name? How do you get in there? By being baptized in there. How about? By water? By Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's Holy Ghost baptism. The water baptism just puts you in fellowship with the people. Now you recognize that you have accepted Christ. That's the truth. But it's Spirit baptism. I can call the name of Jesus over you and baptize you. That doesn't make it so. But when once the Holy Spirit, really genuine Word, comes into you, the Word Jesus, then, brother, the message is no secret to you then. You know it, brother. It's all lit up before you. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now, sometimes today, it's been said among many believers, they say about certain things, oh, that's against my faith. Our faith don't teach that. There's only really one faith. The Bible said so. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And there's one faith, and that is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from anointed ones in the end times, it's a reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate concerning the faith. Who's he talking about? Not a faith, the faith, one Lord, one. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms, not for the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ. That's right. Brother Bill taught two Lords is a fallacy, which means it's false. So, of course, if you have more than one Lord, you have more than one faith. That's what Brother Branham just said. And that just proves right there that you've left the faith for another faith. The one true faith. You've departed from the faith because you left the faith of the one Lord. From his sermon, you see how close it can be. You can have the right prophet, you can have the right teacher, and you can hear something wrong and take it and become compulsive, obsessive, compulsive with it, and it's a demon. And go right off and believe your two lords. From his sermon, Man Running from the Presence, he said, Brother Graham said, there's two spirits. One of them is the Holy Spirit, the other one's an unholy spirit. And one's governed by that, and both of them are religious. Now that's the strange part. They're both religious. And just like Esau and Jacob was, both religious. Like Cain and Abel was, both religious. Like Judas and Jesus, both religious. And we see it today, both sides religious. See, it's the same spirit. The people die, but the spirit doesn't die. It goes right on. Both religious. One of them is possessed with the Holy Spirit that lives the kind of life that they should live and walk godly and honest. They wouldn't beat you out of a penny, and they do everything honest that they could to help you, and just as nice as they can be. And the other, we find out, is just vice versa. And yet both of them are religious spirits. Two of them. One Holy Spirit, the other an unholy spirit. And if you'll notice, even though claiming religion, they'll make fun of you and call you a holy roller, and they do anything they can. Notice, both are possessed, obsessed by a spirit. One is possessed by the Holy Spirit, though. What does His Spirit do? He doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. There's liberty in Christ. What does the other Spirit do? It's got you so tied up in knots until you've got to work your way out of that knot, and you can't do it. You just can't do it. One sets you free, gives you jubilee. What does the other do? Put you in bondage. Put you in fear. Two of them. One Holy Spirit and the other an unholy spirit. Even though claiming religion, they'll make fun of you. Now notice, both are possessed by a spirit. One is possessed by the Holy Spirit. The other is possessed by an oppressive unholy spirit. But if you recall, the Apostle Paul told us, Romans 8:15, but you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. No bondage, no oppression. But you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Nobody compels you to come to church. But the Holy Ghost in you says, I need it. I want it. It's life to me. Notice, you have not received the spirit of bondage, which is oppression, but you have received the Holy Spirit, which is power and love, and a sound mind, which is exactly what He said in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, we see instances of this obsessive behavior in the Bible by the man that was possessed by many demons. Brother Bram, in his sermon, Unbelief Does Not Hinder God, tells us how that oppression, which is obsession, and devil possession, how it comes about. He said, you're controlled by two elements. Either you believe or you do not believe. Now, let's take unbelief and see what it does. It creates a worry. Okay? Now, remember, worry is from anxiety. And then he says, and it brings oppression. And it can't help you at all. There's no value in unbelief at all. You say, if you're going to be shot in the morning at sunrise, it wouldn't help you any to worry about it. I want you to think about yourself. What if you get a notice, you get a call, says, this is the FBI, we're coming to take you away in the morning. We're going to try you for high treason. You think think it helps you to worry about it? We're going to come and slay your whole family tomorrow. Think it's going to help you to worry about it? That makes it worse. Because now you put yourself in a bondage to that thing, and between now and then, you're in prison to your own fears, your own anxieties, your own worry. This is what he says. It creates worry. Unbelief does. And it brings oppression. It can't help you at all. There's no value in unbelief at all. See, brother, we're praying for your wife to get here. It doesn't do us any good to worry that she might not. So just totally throw that thought totally out and confess. She's coming. She's coming. She's coming. You understand? It brings oppression. It can't help you at all. There's no value in unbelief at all. Say, if you were going to be shot in the morning at sunrise, it wouldn't help you any to worry about it. Not a bit. It'd only make it worse on you. So you can't do that. It's not good to do that. Well, you say, what does faith do? What does the Word of God do? It creates faith. Well, what could faith do if you were going to be shot in the morning? It can deliver me. Hallelujah. Has done it many times. Sure, see? There's no value in unbelief. All the value there is in faith. Believing God's Word, taking God at His Word. There you go. Faith. So you see, the world is groping in obsessive compulsive disorder. The entire DNC is obsessive compulsive with Trump derangement syndrome. The media is obsessed with it as well. They don't know how that they can deal with it. But if they walked with God, they would say, what's the big deal? Just sit back and watch what takes place. There's nothing that's out of order. Everything is right on time with God's plan. Everything is. People worry about a recession coming, or worse yet, a depression coming. But what good does it do to worry about it? Get faith and you'll overcome it. Get faith, rapture your faith, and you won't have to worry about any depression. You know, many times you may have a nemesis on the job, a person that really seems to be out for you, a person that seems to have it out for you. Or you may know someone who finds fault with everything that you do. So what do you do about it? You want to fuss with them? It just makes it worse. Just turn it over to God and let it go. Let God take your hand and walk you through it. That's the best thing that you can do. Because every time you give them back what they gave you, it gets worse. President Trump said, if you punch me, I'll punch you back, and even harder. But if he would just forget about that, about the slams that he gets daily, and focus on what he's in office to do, he would end up nullifying his opponent, because that's exactly what Jesus said. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good for them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, is mature, is complete. That's the avenue I want to go down. Look how Jesus did it. Then said, do the same. We read in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed. Okay, he was oppressed. He didn't bring on the oppression himself. He was oppressed by others. And he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Okay? And may that be the same with me, is my prayer to God. May I come to the place when someone calls me a name, that I'll just let it go and pray for that person and just walk away. That's my prayer for me. Evening Messenger, Brother Bram said, we call it the devil. I got the Bible to prove it, that it's the devil. Devil possession, demon possession, non-oppression, possession. He's got you. That's right. Tell them about it. They'll blow up. They want nothing to do with it. No, sir. They got their own idea, because at their morgue, they never rebuke it. Sex appeals is practiced in schools and churches, and pastors are afraid to rebuke it. So why bother telling them? Just let them alone. Just walk away. Be like Enoch. Enoch wasn't worried about who was coming with him while he was walking with the Lord. He just had his eyes on the Lord. He just kept walking. We're told in 1 John 1:7. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, from all unbelief. If you walk with who? If you walk in the light. Then others who are walking with the light, you'll have fellowship with them. So just walk with him. Moses had a couple million people to worry about. But Enoch just himself and his walk with God. And who went up in the rapture? Enoch did. Not the man that had to worry about 2 million people. Not the man with the big, big, big ministry. He didn't go in the rapture. He was bothered with all this unbelief around him until the day he died. Not Enoch. And Enoch forsook all except for him. How are you doing this morning, Lord? Can you talk to him? Father, I know that I love you. I pray, Lord, that you give me opportunity today to show my love for you. Just talk to him. He'll talk back. You walk with him, the world will pass you by. There are so many scriptures that show how others oppress the people, and the oppression wherewith they oppress them. But we can be the source of our own oppression. Sometimes we get a feeling and then amplify it to others, and we bring our own oppression onto them. and then wonder why they treat us with disrespect. It's our own oppression, our own anxiety we have. And we cast that on others, expecting them to feel the same way that we do. And I'm telling you, they won't do so, because look, how can you expect others to know what's going on in your mind? You feel an oppression. You feel like the family's against you. Maybe they're not. Most likely they're not. But you're walking in a cloud. You've got your head in a cloud. Pretty soon you're projecting your own unbelief, your own compulsion, your own oppression, your own obsession onto your family members. They think that person is going a little bit batty. So they step back. Now, you see the stepping back. You say, see, I told you so. No, you're the one that caused it. You're the one that caused it. It's our own oppression, our own anxiety we have. And we cast that on others, expecting them to feel the same. I'm telling you, they won't do so. So don't expect if they can't see what you see. And if they don't feel led to enter into your obsession, get over it. Turn it over to God. He cares for you. So cast all your care upon Him. In his sermon, Queen of Sheba, Brother Brown talks about the man that was so possessed by the devil that the devil actually used his voice to speak to Jesus. But he would do it just to be mean and make me feel bad. You know, he's talking about Bert. You know, there's people like that in the world who will just make fun of you just to make you feel bad. Say something evil about you. It isn't a person. It's the devil in that person. That's all. That person loves his wife just the same as you love your wife and so forth. Likes to eat and sleep and drink and be sociable and things. But they just do it because the devil has control of them. That maniac in Gadara, the man loved and everything. And he was so possessed of the devil until the devil used his tongue to speak. We know thee, thou the Holy One. Why do you come to torment us? That wasn't that man. It was the devil using his voice. And man can be so full of God, that God can use his voice too. Did you ever notice a maniac take several men to hold him down? His power so great because he's so possessed with the devil? This man could break chains. If the devil can give a man that much power, how much more can he give you in these wheelchairs, power of the Holy Spirit to rise? Wheelchairs or nothing could hold you. Just think about some of the people in the Bible. Jephthah took an ox goad, you know, a little stick, and killed 600 Philistines. Samson took an old, brittle jawbone, and the power of God was on him in such a way that he killed 1,000. 1,000! You know, you throw 1,000 logs into this room, and you're going to fill up this room. Try 6 foot men, 200 pounds. 1,000 of them, you couldn't get them in the church. Fill up the parking lot, fill up everything. He's stepping on top of bodies, slaying, bang, 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 bang. The power of God in a man. Now, I'm not beside myself. I know where I am, but I feel religious. If God really could take a hold of this church tonight, what would take place? Because He's here. His Spirit is here. He wants to do it. He longs to do it if we'll just let Him. I can if you will. In this next quote, Brother Ram shows us that this is the condition of the whole human race. Baptism of the Holy Spirit said, when the whole thing begins to leak out and the religious and the righteous seed begins setting on the side, getting thinner and thinner, and the wicked just keep on, very religious, just keep on getting wickeder, 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 there's nothing to do but destroy the whole thing like he did back there in the antediluvian destruction. Every thought of man is continually evil, full of sin. Everything man thinks about today is a bottle of whiskey or some woman or out running around. Can't live true to their wives. The boys can't live true to their girls. Girls can't live true to the boys. Why, they're in such a place till the devil's got them so bound and possessed with an evil spirit, the whole thing's become a conglomeration of sin. That's the reason we're in the day, and that's the reason Russia is playing exactly in the hands of God to rock this thing out here. The Bible says so. Certainly, God using communism, He will use it. And communism will destroy the entire thing according to the Scriptures, and we're in that day. Now, in closing, let's just go to the prayer line. All right? And see how Brother Bram handled those with obsessive oppression. From a sermon face, he says, never seeing you and never knowing you. The first thing I know is that you're not from around here. You come from somewhere else. That's right. You come from the south, coming this way. That's right. Down about Mississippi, down in the Southlands. And you're bothered with a disturbance. It's a mental disturbance. It's an oppression. And your wife, and you're the wife of a minister, and your husband has got the same thing. And what's caused you to be this way is because your husband. That's right. And you're having family trouble, upright, ready for a divorce, and your husband is kind of possessed. He's let Satan come in and take him over. That's right. Do you believe now? Is that true? Well, go on your road back rejoicing and be happy, and may the evil spirit go out and never bother again through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Have faith. Don't doubt. Unbelief is sin. Unpardonable sin. Just believe. That's all he wants to do. Her husband is some denominational preacher. Got all tied up in their denominational faith. It's not even faith. From his unfailing words of promise, Brother Matt said, how do you do? You're really depressed. The man suffering right there with oppression. Also kind of gray-headed with a gray suit on, sitting looking at me, have oppression, don't you, sir? It's left to you now. It's all over. Praise be to God. What did he touch? Not me. That even give that man behind him some courage. My brother Colin's son-in-law, he told me when he's 17 years old, he was in a prayer line. He was standing he had round tables, and he was at a dinner, and he was at one of those hotels. And Brother Brown was speaking, and when the angel of the Lord came in, he was about to see from you and I away. He said, 7 feet away, he could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he said, it changed his life. Now, if getting in God's presence can change his life, what about you? What about you? You want total deliverance? Just enter into that presence. From perseverance, all right, sir. I believe you're one of the ministers who sat on the platform here. As far as knowing you, I don't. Jesus Christ knows your heart. He knows what's in the man. Do you believe that? If God will tell me what your problem is, then are you ready? You are. Your minister knows this man. I believe Brother Turner. Yeah, all right. You know him. All right. The thing of it is that you're really, the trouble is, you're suffering from a nervous breakdown. You're having some kind of a mental scruples in your mind. It's oppression from Satan. This has been going on for some time. It's caused your body to get weak. Your heart's weak. You're in a very bad shape. By this, your whole family is just about into a breakdown, sir. You've been waiting for a word, haven't you? Do you accept my word? Then in the name of Jesus Christ, I send you home to be well. I want to say the same thing right now. If you believe me to be God's servant, in the name of Jesus Christ, I send you home to be well. That devil will come out. Are you believing? Do you believe? From speaking to this rock, he said, do you believe with all your heart? If thou canst believe, I see a lady sitting right back through this way. She's suffering. She's got oppression. She's got a breakout. It's a nervous condition, a mental condition. Oh, if the woman could only catch it. God, tell me who she is. Please do. Her name is Mrs. Adams. Mrs. Adams, believe with all your heart, and Jesus Christ will make you well. Do you believe it with all your heart? Are you accepting your healing? Don't be scared. If you're scared, you'll always be in that state. It's a mental oppression. But don't doubt. Believe with all your heart. Will you do it? Then stand upon your feet. Mrs. Adams, stand upon your feet. Stand up right there, right here, and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke that devil that's bothering you to try to keep you from it. The devil's aligned to you. You're going to be all right. Go home and be well. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice what he said. If you're afraid, you will stay in that condition. Now, next week, we're going to get into the word phobia, because we see this demonic insanity. It begins with anxiety, worrying about what might happen. It moves to a compulsive behavior, trying to do so that thing won't come upon you, instead of turning it over to God. That doing gets you into that mode of an obsession. It becomes an obsessive, compulsive thing. And that leads to fear. And the fear has a penalty. You know what that penalty is? I was going to tell you, but I'm going to have you think about that all week. Fear has a penalty. It has a penalty. The Bible says fear has a penalty. And you find it through scripture, 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 all the way through the Bible, the penalty of fear. So I want you to be praying about that next week. For discerning the body of the Lord, he said, Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, author of everlasting life, make Satan turn loose of every believer in here. They've got their hands laid on one another, and they are believers. They're having faith in God that they believe that you'll do it. Oh Lord, your word cannot fail no more than your promise, and your promise says, if they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I want you right now to lay hands on the person next to you. Everyone. I'm going to repeat these words from Jesus. If they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Go ahead, everybody find a person to lay hands on. Find somebody. If they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If they shall lay hands on the sick, no matter what your sickness is. It can be compulsive behavior. It can be obsession. It can be female troubles. It can be arthritis. It can be diabetes. Do you want to go through the rest of your life with what you've got, or do you want to just be healed right now? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have what you ask for. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Precious Father, we have other quotes and scriptures, Lord, to read, but I just feel that at this time, Lord, that we just come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I have my hands lifted up toward you and over your people. And I ask you now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you set everyone here free of that compulsive behavior, and of whatever it is that they're compulsive because of, whether it's arthritis, whether it's diabetes, Lord, whether it's congestive heart failure, whatever is causing people, Lord, to run to doctors and run to this and run to that, may they run into the arms of Jesus. May they have faith, and may they have rest and peace. For you said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. A peace that surpasses all understanding. May we come to that place, Father, where we just let go and let God. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Only Believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.